War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment, 21st of November, 21 November, Year of Our Lord, 2019, Episode 40, live from the historic Breitbart Embassy basement, just across the street from the Supreme Court and across the plaza from the Capitol, where the historic inquiry into the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is currently underway. Another doubleheader, another big day today. They went, I think, to 9 o'clock last night. We're going to get to all of that. We are honored to be live in the John Fredericks Radio Network, picked up now by Salem Broadcasting Radio Network. And we're live streaming on americasvoice.net. I want to thank all the team at America's Voice. America's News, americasvoice.news. I'll eventually get that right. And Raheem, where are we on? We're on every platform in the world.
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, your favorite. SoundCloud, YouTube, the works. Google Play.
We're in the war room today. Got Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, and also the great Curtis Ellis just is wandering around the premises over in the war room where the rapid response team is. Curtis Ellis, one of the great voices on the anti-CCP and standing up for China. Historic day yesterday with the House. Once again, 417-1. Brother Massey out in Kentucky voted against it, but a historic 417-1 on the they accepted the Senate bill, go over to the president today to be signed. And I think it compares and contrasts the sideshow to the sideshow that is Ukraine, right? And is this scandal versus the main event or the only thing that matters, which is this existential struggle we have against the Chinese Communist Party, who are trying to become an economic hegemon and really set up an economic system that not just enslaves their own people, which they've already done, but enslaves the people of the Eurasian landmass and makes the United States a tributary state. We are essentially right now Jamestown to their Great Britain. We send them raw materials. We send soybeans and wheat and oil and natural gas, and they send us back finished electronic and high-tech products, I think $500 billion a year. That's one of the reasons just in trade you can't close this. Remember, this is not a trade war. That's what they keep talking about in Beijing today. Hank Paulson and all the party at Davos, Henry Kissinger, they're all making excuses for the Chinese Communist Party. As we're engulfed in a constitutional crisis about a sideshow to a sideshow. And today, Fiona Hill is going to be up there. Fiona Hill leads the anti-Russia. Look, I spent 4 years, I think, 3.5, 4 years of my life on a Navy destroyer. Our mission in the Pacific was hunting Soviet submarines to keep them away from carrier battle groups. Then spent three and a half years back in the Pentagon. Got here on the day of Reagan's inauguration as a junior officer in the Chief of Naval Operations Office, the war plan of the Reagan administration to destroy the Soviet Union. We win, they lose. And to see that and now have an existential struggle against the Chinese the entire time, that the Russians, yes, the Russians ultimately should be an ally. They were an ally in World War II. They took the brunt of the Nazis. They lost, what, 40 million people? And now this is a sideshow to a sideshow. And a true hater. She's going to be held up as Joan of Arc, a true hater, Fiona Hill. And in her testimony, she says she was recruited by General Flynn and then hired by McMaster as well. They tried to recruit her. I knew about this piece she had written in Brookings, which basically called the deplorables in the Trump movement like the Bolshevik Revolution. I'm honored to be joined by Raheem Kassam, Nigel Farage's wingman and the master of Brexit, and Jason Miller, the senior communication strategist for the Trump Comfort Beyond victory in 2016, which he had to deploy guys like Curtis Ellis. That shows you how we're fighting from behind. No, Curtis is fantastic. So guys, yesterday, and I just wanted for this is particularly for americasvoice.news. The radio audience can't see this, but I'm holding up today's papers. Financial Times: Sondland followed orders from Trump on Ukraine, quid pro quo. Washington Post: diplomat acknowledges quid pro quo, directly links probes to aid and visit, ties in Trump and Pence. And then the granddaddy, the New York Times, this is a Watergate type, the entire front page: we followed the president's orders, in quotes, the whole thing like Watergate or Pentagon Papers. In the middle of the paper, they've got the entire transcript. Sondland names top officials in Ukraine push. Democrats detect Watergate echo. And then the big one, just to throw it in there, Pompeo directly. I guess we're not going back to Kansas. Witness places Pompeo firmly in the loop, and quotes, Secretary Pompeo, this is a love tap from the New York Times.
And it's not just the print media. I mean, let's look at this morning's broadcast media. I mean, CNN started off, first of all, they had their live coverage going, you know, around the clock.
Is Cuomo out there with the windbreaker on, his hands, got muffins, got warm heaters?
So it is.
It's 55 degrees.
No, it's legitimately 42 degrees outside now, because I grabbed a jacket this morning. But, you know, poor Cuomo's out there, like his poor hands are frostbitten and they're falling off. You'll be like the Donner Party. But CNN's going with the news. Sondland gave stunning testimony that directly implicated President Trump. You could clearly hear the gasps in the room. Bombshell testimony. Today,
Everything's a bombshell.
Everything's
bombshell. Bombshell.
Today Show. Democrats say case closed, leaving no question there was a pressure campaign that went right to the top.
Today Show this morning. Today Show. Case closed.
And then the Mac Daddy of them all, Morning Joe, was so triggered this morning.
He was over the top. I noticed he didn't like it.
It was,
do we have that clip we actually play? Okay, we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it in the evening show.
It was so personal. So personal. He said, here are a couple of the lines that Joe had this morning. Either the Republicans are disingenuous liars or they're just really stupid.
Oh, 100-point IQ drop. Didn't he say that?
Yep. And they were acting as if they found the Rosetta Stone.
Here's the thing is that this is why I'm so proud of what Raheem did yesterday and Jason, you guys walked through. We're going to have to do it. And I think we're going to do a special show. If we had not pulled out yesterday, first off, you guys were fantastic on the morning show. You totally called it too cute by half. He was trying to do too much. He went all in on that opening statement against the president. It looked like, you know, darkness at noon. And then when finally Jordan and Stefanik and others got to cross him, even in their limited cross, he kind of wilted under fire. And that's why they had the Democrats that had come back and try to clean him up. But I think it was a draw yesterday. When the morning looked bad, but I thought, and then I think the clips you guys played yesterday in the evening show, it's the only time I've heard those clips. And if you concentrate them, because people are not going to have time to sit and watch 7 hours of testimony, but you curated the best clips from the right. And when you hear that, Sondland's testimony is a draw.
And why it was so important. I mean, here's the fundamental question everyone needs to take away from yesterday with Sondland, with his testimony. Was the information that was provided there, or the presumption, because as we came to see that almost everything Sondland said it were presumptions, and so even his presumptions were inaccurate, were those things that are going to move Republicans to vote to impeach President Trump? And the answer is no.
Because your test, your canary in the mine shaft is heard.
Yes.
And what did you see? What the body language and his questions, what did you see heard?
He seemed to be standing pretty strong right now.
I think when you see it, it was definitely. What were, before we get to Fiona Hill, is she, by the way, so the TV's in back of me. Is she taking her spot yet? We have her opening.
Adam Schiff's opening statement right now.
Adam Schiff's, which is always, he got pretty worked up last night. He knew he had a problem. That's why he came back and thought he had to summarize it. I watched MSNBC, we'll get to that later in the second half, the witness protection program of the Democratic debate. What a snooze fest. God, they got to have some drama in this thing. Somebody got to know they got to throw down.
Joe Biden tried, though. He tried to introduce some drama.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard tried.
Yeah.
But she did, but she was very stately about it, right? It wasn't a real throwdown. Anything else we should summarize from Sondland from yesterday or how the media is playing this?
Look, I think just briefly, Ambassador Sondland went in there. I think we called it in advance. He was going to try and be all things to all people. He did try and be all things to all people. And credit to him, he personally has kind of gotten away with it. He's thrown a lot of things around and
had to get a flight.
You pick the bones out of that.
Had to get a flight. How did they let him go like that? Got to catch a flight, right? Can we pick up the pace? I got to resume my position.
As I said yesterday, he didn't even stop on the way to get some Grey Poupon before he got to the airport.
Yeah, he put his his luggage in the wrong overhead bin. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, there were all these pictures coming out. But
we got about a minute in this. How much does this have an impact? And when you pick up the papers today that people are not following closely, this looks like Watergate. I mean, the New York Times is totally over the top. The entire front page.
But didn't they do that with Russia and Mueller?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and the fact is that when you look at the polling, the morning consult polling, especially when you're going through the crosstabs, it's actually the older generation. generations, the boomers and the Gen Xers, who are looking at all of this stuff far more skeptically, and they don't believe this alarmism around it. We're also seeing the polling is moving away from people supporting impeachment.
You think it's hysteria? Okay, look, we're going to take a short commercial break to pay some bills here. We're very honored to be on the John Frederick Radio Network. We're also on Salem Broadcasting Radio Network. We're on AmericasVoice.news. I've got Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're live today, and we'll return. We're going to talk about polls. We're also going to talk about Fiona Hill. Fiona Hill is a quite controversial character, and they believe this is another knockout punch today. They think it's 1-2 thing. Sondland yesterday and Fiona Hill today. Okay, short commercial break. We'll pay some bills. We'll be back momentarily. War Room impeachment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room impeachment.
On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
We're back live. War Room impeachment, 21 November, year of our Lord, 2019, episode 40. It is Miller, Kassam, and Bannon, and we're here on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting, AmericasVoice.news. I want to thank the team there. Hope the photos are coming. Hope the live stream is coming across great. We're going to be announcing even more distribution to get us out even bigger. We're on platforms. Just go to any one of the podcast platforms. Subscribe. It's free. Here's the best thing. It's free. Just leave comments.
And it's even freer to share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. It gets even freer. Okay. Let's go to the days. Okay. First off, they think they've got their narrative now, right? They think they've got Sondland. There was pushback. But I'll be honest. Some of the, you know, a lot of people are still not taking this seriously. There's just not the intensity. It's not the urgency. It's not the coverage. On the John Frederick Radio Network, we just got to sneeze. That's right. You know, normally I handle that so well when I've done other radio broadcasts. When a producer sneezes during a live broadcast.
Wait, I just want to pull back on something you just said. Right, you said you've got the narrative. Right, but do they have the narrative? Because yesterday, remember, over the course of the day,
I'm just gonna go back and refer back to. We followed the president's orders.
Pull up what you had up earlier about the headlines.
Diplomat acknowledges quid pro quo. No, I'm not saying this is. I'm not saying this. They create their own reality.
I'm not even.
Financial Times. Sondland followed orders from Trump on Ukraine.
Steve,
quid pro quo.
Maybe I have to teach a thing about messaging or two. They've gone back to quid pro quo now, right? They moved on to bribery. Right. They've gone back to quid pro quo. And CNN even went even weaker last night after Sondland's testimony, and they said pressure campaign. Jason, what was on the Today Show today?
Today Show, Democrats say case closed, leaving no question. There was a pressure campaign. An interesting thing.
That's called politics.
I like
when
that.
Savannah said that, the only place where I saw that written, correct me if I'm wrong, Raheem, because you pointed it out, it was on that CNN headline. That was the only place where I saw the pressure campaign.
So
clearly,
right up.
her producer read the CNN story and put that in there. But you can see the circular... word garbage that goes on.
One thing,
as
we deconstruct this for you and try to save time, one of the things I thought was interesting, Goldman did this and Schiff did this. They're trying to bifurcate the meeting in the arms sales. I think to get to a bribery charge, they need to tie that to the arms, to the military aid. They can't just have that on the meeting itself. And you saw some of the emphasis to try to get onto this aid. Also, Cooper, and I want to make sure we get this up, in the evening, she did change the timeline, and we got to make sure this is in there, Raheem, on the timeline we're doing. She did change the timeline back to the 25th on when the Ukraine supposedly knew about the delay in the arms trade. That was a fairly big revelation, and that they will hammer that. When they come out with their final abuse of power, obstruction of justice, they will put that, that Cooper will turn out to have been a bigger witness, and you will see her again in the trial in the Senate.
Yeah, and there's going to be a little bit of evolving in the Democrats' messaging today. And when I say Democrats, I'm including Fiona Hill in there. I think you're going to see a shift from we got them red-handed, they're crooked and they're corrupt, to they're incompetent idiots who don't know what they're doing on foreign policy, running a, as she's going to say, a fictional narrative. At least that's what it was being teased initially. We'll see if that's actually in her words today. But they're going to talk about the circus show, the whole side aspect. I expect Fiona Hill to go really hard after Mayor Giuliani in a big way and essentially try
the rogue operation.
Yes, to lay down the case.
But Sondland said yesterday it's not a rogue operation. Everybody was in on it, right?
Yeah,
he threw Rudy under the bus about 1,000 times, but he did say it wasn't rogue. it was everybody, and it included Pence in that, and including Pompeo in that.
Yeah, but she'll go back from her perspective.
To the right,
I'm the foreign policy professional.
Right. Vindman squared.
Yes, but again, it's going to it's hitting. Yesterday was hitting on the credibility of the administration. Today, it's going to be driving, saying that they don't know what the competence of the administration.
Right.
That's
these rankings, and you're shown by Sunland.
Right. And the important thing for people who aren't necessarily following every single detail, you're going to see a lot of phrases like our policy, the United States policy. What that is
established
code for.
Established policy.
Yes. Established policy. What that is code for is we as foreign service professionals know better than President Trump.
Let's get back to one thing before we, I want to get into her background right now. Scott Jennings, who was one of McConnell's guys, right? He's a CNN. That's where we replaced Steve Cortez and Jason Miller, two Trump warriors, with a McConnell guy. But I think he gave up the game last night on the Anderson Cooper show. He said, "Hey, I think what they're going to do is blame it all on Rudy, apologize and just move on." You can see that Rudy's being teed up for a big fall here, don't
and
you think?
I can't stress enough that from the strategic aspect of this, and this is the establishment, this is where they fall down and smack their nose on the pavement every single time. When you start, quote unquote, giving people up or saying that it's
never
all
works.
This person, it's
never,
all under there.
Never works.
You know, this person committed a crime, but not us, but it was this person.
So take this one. Take this human. So
yes.
Take this burnt offering.
Yeah, when you do the take this burnt offering, all that's doing
it
is.
It never works.
No, it's like inviting ants to the picnic. It's basically saying that you did something wrong, and it just makes it 10 times worse. Like the idea, okay, let's just say hypothetically, President Trump came out today and just said, you know what, I'm going to throw Mayor Giuliani. I'm going to say everything was on him. You know, it was he's the one who did something improper or wrong. The media.
I don't know Rudy that well.
They would hammer President Trump. So much, it'd be
unbelievable.
Now it's different for Sondland. We called it and said he was going to go out there, and like Raheem said, too clever by half.
Yeah.
He would cross himself up, and it would be very clear that this guy's a puffery agent who caused most of these problems himself.
Okay, Raheem Kassam, you're British. She's British.
Right.
She's a dual citizenship now. Tell us about Fiona Hill.
Yeah,
she's going to be held up by the establishment as like the goddess of foreign policy.
Yeah, well, Fiona Hill's opening statement is out already before she delivered it, as we've come to expect. And she talks in that opening statement about having been born in a working class background in the northeast of England.
Coal miner.
Country.
She's coal miner's daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. Her paternal grandfather fought in World War I, she says, in the Royal Field Artillery. Survived being shot, shelled, and gassed before American troops intervened to end the war in 1918. She talks about her father, a coal miner, who was 14 when he joined.
By the way, this is why we don't disparage him. I like this. I think this stuff is powerful and it's good. I see what they're doing to build the narrative. Vindman and her and others, you know, the working class people, they're essentially deplorables.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And she talks about...
But they're good deplorables.
In her words, she's a good deplorable. She's, you know, now turned into a great American patriot, in her words. She's worked alongside three different administrations, Bush, Obama, Trump. She's going to say that she was initially hired by General Flynn,
this is big.
Katie McFarland,
we're gonna
and General Kellogg.
The War Room Oppo Department is going to find out exactly when she was hired and by whom.
And then she says she went on to work for General McMaster when he was the National Security Advisor. The big takeaway from her opening statement is that she is going to underscore and stress over and over, according to her, that the Russians are gearing up to interfere in the 2020 election, and I suspect she will try and tie this whole thing vis-a-vis Ukraine to new Russian interference.
This is one thing we have to see, and I call them the Atlanticist, right? And that is the establishment, the party of Davos. What you will see today and what they're trying to put in the American people's mind is that Russia is still the central threat to the United States of America is Russia. She's a Russian expert. Russia's evil. Putin is the most evil of all. The kleptocrats around him. You have the people in the Ukraine and Eastern Europe that are threatening also Europe and the United States. And yesterday we have this historic vote in Hong Kong. Never a peep out of any of these folks about China.
No, you think Fiona Hill wouldn't even know where to find China on a map. I mean, everything is Russia, Russia, Russia. And that's when you look at her experience and her background. I mean, she has a master's and a PhD from Harvard in Russian history.
We're going to take a short break. Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam will be back, my two wingmen. It's War Room Impeachment, episode 40. We're going to take a short commercial break, pay some bills, return on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting, and America's Voice. News.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 21 November, Year of Our Lord, 2019, episode 40. Raheem, where can we get, besides John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting, America's Voice.news, where else can we get War Room Impeachment?
I'm so glad you asked. My recommendation is to go to warroom.org/podcast.
How would you like to win up to
/podcast on the warroom.org website?
Have fun too. Well, Rosie's Gaming Emporium.
You'll be able to get everything there.
Okay, fine. Just listen to us over the.
Yeah, it's a special.
That's an extra commercial. Yeah. Does somebody check our deal with John Frederick to make sure that we're. Impeachment.
Here's I like the host, DJ commercial, Stephen though. K. The one where it's
and
like.
And this is the better production staff is in the morning.
The turntable, where it's like.
Okay, there we go. I want to thank the central production. We have to have John Frederick sit in more often.
It's the Russians.
Chaos.
The Russians are doing it. Let's go to Fiona Hill.
Yeah. Bishop Auckland native from the northeast of England. Brexit, yep. Brexit voting area, I would suppose. I'm just digging up some.
It's one of the reasons that we have Brexit, the working class people.
But you know, a girl from working class background who came very good. You know, went to St Andrews University, did her PhD at Harvard. Was I think working at NBC? Jason, is that correct?
She was interning for the Today Show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, NBC. When an academic approached her and lured her into academia.
I wonder if she's got a Matt. I wonder if she had any. If Matt Lauer was any problems? That guy was the worst. He's a predator,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, that's what. Look, this guy was out of control.
Well, no.
As covered up by the NBC leaders.
Yeah, no mention of that, surprisingly. But in recent years has worked in Washington, D.C. at the strategic planning at the Eurasia Foundation in the late 90s and then
Institution. That's Ian Bremmer's group.
And, yeah. And let's not forget that during that stretch that she was the research assistant at Harvard, she was a consultant for the U.N. and for The Hague.
Yeah.
So this is what this is the establishment. This is the party of Davos's foreign, you know, Ian Bremmer. These guys are smart guys. They're you know, you got Council on Foreign Relations, Brookings Institute, Eurasia Group, the UN, your consultant. This is the way people come up through the system. I mean, that's why to have General Flynn, who was kind of rejected that, and General Kellogg, who's the vice president's national security advisor today, who had kind of rejected that part of the apparatus.
Yeah, and even chatting with one of our congressional allies on Capitol Hill, who is obviously not a Fiona Hill fan and supports the president, said, look, she is smart as a whip and she's going to do very good today. And I'd refer back to that Politico magazine profile story on Fiona Hill from September 30th of this year that I tweeted out this morning. It even says in the intro of it that that she joined others who entered the administration with backgrounds and worldviews that seemed deeply at odds with those of the president. And that's the whole point that we're getting here with going through these backgrounds, that these are folks who that's why we're going to hear our policy, the country's policy, their views on what the U.S. should be doing that differ from Trump's.
What in her opening statement? Anything else that we should be? Because this is gonna they view this as the 1-2 punch, or Vindman, it's Vindman to Sondland to Fiona Hill, right? This is the three.
What this seems like to me is now that they've done, I think they're big hitters in terms of knowledge of the timeline and the conversations and all of that. What they're going with here with Dr. Fiona Hill and what her opening statement looks like is, and if you dare challenge this narrative, you must be working for and with the Russians in the 2020 election. That's what she seems to be resting on in her final few paragraphs that she's due to deliver any moment now. You've got David Holmes up there, the eavesdropper, speaking right now. But Fiona Hill looks like she's going to say, look, if you don't believe that Ukraine is fundamental to our national security interests and that we must throw hundreds of millions of dollars without question, then you are an ally of Russia.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, there's another thing that we've found about Fiona Hill that's been reported in a couple of places. But while she was at the National Intelligence Committee, she got to know one Christopher Steele, the author of the Dirty Dossier.
Now, this is not us putting our tinfoil hats on. This is a connection she's got. Steele was part of this whole ecosystem.
Yeah. This was in her own deposition.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she said, but here's the thing: the Politico magazine writes that Fiona Hill, quote, had a high opinion of Steele and thought he was very smart, a foreign policy veteran and one of Hill's close friends told Politico.
I'm going
to. Steele's one of these guys who goes to the fancy pants restaurants. You know, he. I saw him recently at the Boysdale of Belgravia in London. I mean, that's a hyper, you know, cool place to hang out.
Was this a humble brag from Raheem? He's just dropping that.
I'm there all the time. Don't worry about that. I got my own seat.
We stopped your Morton's habit here. Okay, we're gonna take a short commercial break. By the way, Holmes is important. I want you to get to. Have to go on assignment. I'm not gonna be here for the last 2 seconds. But I want to make sure we talk about Holmes is gonna contradict what Sondland said. Okay, War Room Impeachment, episode 40, Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're going to return in a moment on the John Fredericks Radio Network, hopefully without extra bonus commercials. We will return, and also Salem Broadcasting and America's Voice.news momentarily.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam, War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to a War Room Impeachment. It's Thursday, the 21st of November, 2019. I'm Raheem Kassam, joined by Jason Miller down here in the Capitol Hill basement. Our very own skiff, our War Room, just moments away from where the public hearings are taking place. David Holmes and Fiona Hill, the last two that we know of that are up there in Capitol Hill. I don't even know which room they're in. Do you know which room they're in? They're in a room.
It'd be the Intel hearing room.
Theater-style room. And it's interesting. These rooms were full to the brim. People lined up for the beginning of this process, Jason. And just like the television ratings are sinking in terms of public interest, I happen to suspect that this will be probably half full all day rather than the first round of hearings where people were lined up waiting to be swapped out the whole time. And, you know, we've seen time and time again now the numbers sinking. At the first day that you had televised hearings, you had numbers on par with the Mueller testimony back earlier this year, but nowhere near the Kavanaugh testimony. They were about 7 million short of that, I think getting about 13 million. And in the last couple of days, we've seen the numbers sink to about 11 million, and they're just going down and down. And I suspect this one may not even hit double digits.
And I would say that the viewing audience is probably extremely one-sided, that it's the resistors, the people who've been pushing forward with the Russian investigation and now this, who want to try to, quote-unquote, get President Trump. People who've been, you know, the Comey believers going all the way back to the beginning, still whining about the popular vote with Secretary Clinton. Because if you're a Trump ally, number one, you're looking at this as it's boring. There's not going to be any new news that's going to be made. There's not going to be anything that's going to, any damning evidence that President Trump did anything wrong. But the Democrats are the ones, it's really their core kind of MSNBC audience who's going to be charged up on this.
You think these people are sitting at home punching the air, just, yeah, we've got him.
I think, look, they're probably tired from having ridden their e-scooter to work today, and they have their green tea in hand, and they have the earpieces in.
Wait, what's wrong with green tea? This is what I'm imbibing of right now.
Yeah, but hold on, but you have an accent, so you get an exemption.
Also, coffee drives me nuts. You're going to hear a lot of an English accent today, but it's not going to be mine. Well, it can be mine if you want to give me a call. Happy to talk to anyone out there. The English accent you'll hear mostly from today is that of Fiona Hill, this working class girl, grew up in Northeast England, somehow climbed the ranks, and I think probably fairly, you know, I'm not insinuating anything nefarious here, but climbed the ranks in academia and then in politics and became a national security advisor. And we expect her to say, Jason, that if you don't believe that the Ukraine stuff is exactly what the establishment tells you it is, then you're a Russian agent.
Yeah, and Raheem, to this point, I mean, we're the ones who broke this 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago of really driving the point at its core. This impeachment effort is an attempt to undermine President Trump's foreign policy. Mm. It's a foreign policy disagreement. That's what you're going to see on display today. Even when you look at Fiona Hill's background, having gone directly from the liberal Brookings Institution directly into the White House in her entire history. I mean,
conveyor belt.
I mean, all of these profile stories, she will talk about, she'll even say that she had a different foreign policy viewpoint. You know, that Politico magazine article I've now referred to from Natasha Bertrand a couple of times says of Hill, she wasn't sitting around with Bolton debating what policies to implement. And she also hints at the fact that she didn't know what was going on sometimes. She was, quite frankly, very surprised that she even had the opportunity to go to the White House in the first place, views herself as a Russia realist. Mm. And so that's, again, that's a different foreign policy outlook than President Trump, who's simply stated, I don't think that Russia has to be an enemy.
Mm. Did we talk about her Brookings article from November the 11th, 2016, just a couple of days after President Trump was elected? Did we mention that on the show? Yeah, I think we should.
We did. No, dive into it.
Yeah, this is. I mean, we got it as the lead on the warroom.org website as well for people who want to see what she wrote back then. She said the U.S. election came hot on the heels of the 99th anniversary of the Russian Revolution. The result was a contemporary American version of a Bolshevik revolution. Donald Trump rode a wave of popular anger against the establishment, promising to bring down the old guard and seize the White House. Like the Bolsheviks, his campaign was big on slogans and short on content. And then she went and worked for the Trump administration. Did nobody vet her? Who was in charge of this? Was it Steve? Is this why Steve's left?
Well, I think it's worth noting out that it was in the Boston Magazine profile said that Fiona Hill was initially recruited by Flynn and McFarland, which I think some folks would take issue with that, but then actually hired by McMaster. Although Raheem, her opening statement says that she was hired by Flynn and McFarland. There's a difference there, but then just started under McMaster. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't trust her one bit in that. I think she knows that she's taking cover behind McFarland and you know, more political types on the Trump side, like General Flynn there as well. I think she knows, and she knows we know that the McMaster situation, what he did in the White House, the people he brought in, the people he surrounded himself with, was a total disaster, and exactly why we're going through what we're going through now. You know, you had the Steve Bannons in there once upon a time trying to warn people about the hiring processes, who was in charge of the hiring processes, and eventually, you know, the establishment all moves together and moves in lockstep to get rid of people like that. But I just want to pivot real quick because we've got to take care of the struggle bus, which was the Democrat debates last night.
Struggle bus is pretty accurate.
What were your thoughts? Did you watch it? Did you see anything that stood out?
No, absolutely did not watch it. I was doing stuff with the kids, so I had to take a hard pass on that one. But from all the recaps and went through and looked at a ton of stories, looked like everyone basically left Mayor Pete alone. But Joe Biden, we have got to talk about his gaffes.
Yes, let's talk about Joe Biden's gaffes. So from the moment they saw, now I did watch it against my will. But Joe Biden started, firstly, Amy Klobuchar was shaking like a leaf up there, and I have no idea if there's something wrong with her, whether she's low on potassium, whether she's just exhausted, maybe she was hepped up on caffeine, I don't know, but she was shaking violently up there, and it was very clear, you know, on a 65-inch 4K television, humble brag, that you know, her hair was shaking about and her arms were shaking about, and then it goes over to Biden. He couldn't string a sentence together. He genuinely was making no sense at the beginning. He was saying that when you're president, the first thing you have to do is defeat Donald Trump. No, that you become president by defeating Donald Trump.
Slurring his words and stumbling to complete sentences. I mean, he was all over the map. And are you going to tee up the African-American senator or the keep punching?
No, the punching. Let's hear what Joe Biden said about how to tackle violence against women.
Has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big... No, I really mean it.
So to tackle violence against women, you keep punching at it and punching at it. By the way, we got a nuke war, yes. Right? We got to shoot up the war against drugs.
The other one too is when he was on stage and he goes, I've been endorsed by the only African-American woman ever elected to the Senate. And then Kamala Harris raises her hand.
All right, we're going to take another quick break here on War Room Impeachment. We'll be right back on the John Fredericks and Salem Radio Networks.
Bannon, Miller, Kasam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment. I'm Raheem Kasam. Jason Miller here with me in studio. We've got John Fredericks throwing the cans on to join us for this last segment. We're very grateful to John Fredericks for hosting us on his radio network. Remember, warroom.org for all of your impeachment-related needs. I just want to... The Democrat struggle bus rolled in slowly to Georgia yesterday, and the gaffe machine called Joe Biden was slowly lowered out the back of the bus and wheeled into that arena. And he did not disappoint, Jason. What say you? Should we play this clip of Joe Biden talking about how, What did Joe Biden say? He's black or something? He was trying to burnish his African-American credentials, right?
Yeah, and he went out there and, you know, I've been endorsed by the only African-American woman ever elected to the U.S. Senate.
Let's hear it.
I have more people supporting me in the black community that have announced for me because they know me. They know who I am. Three former chairs of the Black Caucus, the only African-American woman that ever been elected to the United States Senate, a whole range of people.
No,
my point
no,
is,
that's not true. The other
that's
one
not
is
true.
Here.
But wait, doesn't Joe Biden have a point? Is Kamala Harris technically African-American? Isn't she Indian and Jamaican or something?
I think the more simple answer here is just Joe Biden is well past his prime. Best days are in the rearview mirror. And here's the thing. Producer Dan was joking about this during the commercial break. I've been saying for a long time, I want Biden as the Dem nominee. He's basically a fuddy-duddy. It's like Weekend at Bernie's at this point.
John Fredericks, tell us about what happened on your YouTube page, because I think people need to know what's going on with
the War Room. So on the John Fredericks Radio Network, we have a YouTube channel that we've had up forever. When the War Room, we posted, we get about 3,500 to 5,000 downloads a day, twice
a day. Just on YouTube?
Yes, on our YouTube channel, just on that. It's separate. I mean, it's on so many other platforms, yeah. But just on that. I mean, you can go and see what the downloads are. So we've never had an issue with my show. Yesterday, YouTube took off the War Room impeachment video from last night, saying that it was deceptive and that violated their community policies.
And so we've had now, I think it's orchestrated complaints, you would say?
Orchestrated complaints.
Orchestrated complaints.
35 or so to 50 complaints that came from someone attacking that video, because the reason they attack it is because it's effective and successful when people are watching it, and because it's making a difference in public opinion.
Here's the thing, right? We have left-wing journalists listening to this. We have, you know, congressmen from across both parties listening to this. We know that for a fact. Everybody knows the things we say on here. Right, fine. We may be interpreting things our way, but we're telling the truth, and we're backing it up with real facts, real evidence. And that, isn't it right, John Fredericks, is what they're afraid of.
It's the facts getting out is counter to what their narrative is. And so even though War Room Down Impeachment is up on so many other platforms, they attack ours because that they know that the John Fredericks Network is at the base of putting this out.
All right, that's the show for today. Make sure you join us tomorrow, another episode of War Room Impeachment. Special episode tonight, 5 p.m., Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam. We'll see you then.
Can't wait.